The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. We must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The Essentials, serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Andy, good evening and welcome to The Essentials, The Reset. You're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, and this evening we are going to be having, as usual, wonderful, wonderful conversation. We are going to start our series, The Road Beyond 50, and we're going to be taking a look at the Bahamas, kind of through a historical perspective in one instance, and then a forward-looking perspective in the other. And of course, we're going to wrap these up with, you know, personal stories, because I am certainly not the most qualified person to bring this to you. So we are going to be having a number of individuals join us over the next few weeks, all the way up to July 10th. And we will be looking next week from an economic perspective. We have a guest already confirmed, Ms. Therese Turner-Jones. And then the following week, we'll be taking it from a religious perspective. And so we want to have a discussion across sectors. One simple, broad question, or one or two. How far has the Bahamas come? What has the Bahamas achieved over the last 50 years? And then we want to look beyond that, because often what happens is we get kind of bogged down and tied down and arrested by the negativity and the things which are not going well. But it's always good to pause and to look back and to ask ourselves the question, how much have we achieved? What are some of the missed opportunities? What are some of the things that we ought to learn going forward? And then also ask ourselves, what should be our vision for the future? What are the possibilities? What are the untapped potentials which are there? Because everything which is going to be celebrated on July 10th, 2023, has essentially happened already. Kind of history. A couple of days between now and then, but it has already happened. So it's important for us to now recognize that, yes, some things have been done, great things, great achievement, but we now must start to plan and think ahead about where we are going. And over the next couple of weeks, we will have eminently qualified individuals, individuals who I consider in one way or the other, one shape or the other, to be nation builders, individuals who contribute, not necessarily all the time on the national stage, but right there in the background, working very hard to make sure that this country or some sector of this country works well. And you're going to want to join us for that conversation. And you'll have an opportunity to speak with us briefly. The numbers are going to be, as usual, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And of course, you can share by the text line 422-4796. That's 422-4796. We definitely want to hear from you. How have you seen the Bahamas since independence? Since it has gotten full-fledged self-determination. Before that, it was internal self-governance. But then came independence, and it's now full self-determination. We don't have to look to anyone to make a decision as to where the country should go. Of course, there's still the hangings and the trappings of the monarchy. Some of those need to go, but that's a conversation for another day. And what are your views? What would you like to see for the future? Because we want to get through as much as possible in the time that we have with our guests. And so we're going to take ourselves a very, very, very quick break. And when we come back, we'll also be sharing some Bohemian songs in the background. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by two eminently qualified young ladies, champions in my view, my opinion, and you cannot argue with me otherwise. But I'm sure once you hear them, you'll agree. And we will be joined by those two lovely ladies, and we'll have a conversation how they see the Bahamas up to now and where they see the Bahamas going. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Don't move. Come right back.
You know it's so essential, so serious.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
As we welcome you back to The Essentials, The Reset, bring back the good old days. And to joining us now to help us to bring back the good old days and to share some of the highlights from their perspective, we are joined by Dr. Tanya McCartney and Miss Farida Smith. Ladies, welcome to The Essentials.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having us.
Certainly a pleasure. Well, for you, Tanya, welcome back to The Essentials.
Yes, it seems as if it's been too long, Hubert, so it feels good to be back.
No, it doesn't seem as if it is too long. It has been too long.
Yeah, it's been too long.
And Farida is with us.
Hubert, I'm happy to be here with you and the illustrious Dr. Tanya.
Yes, and I have started to develop an impression that when both of you are in the same space, a little bit of a magic takes place. And so I am going to seek to leverage that this evening. But let me start with you, Tanya, Dr. Tanya, Dr. McCartney. I have so many different names for you, so forgive me if I throw which one out after another. But
anyway,
let's take a glance back. 1973 to 2023, 50 years. Independence, self-determination, the Bahamas has come a far way. And we are going to talk about that, but kind of maybe narrow it down in a bit to financial services. But give me your general view. Be a little bit nostalgic. Talk to us about when you think about that 50-year journey, what comes to your mind?
Well, and thank you for this opportunity. But when I think about this 50-year journey, it's pretty much aligned with my own growth and development in this country. Mm-hmm. I'm just I was 2 years old when the Bahamas became an independent country. And so I have grown with this nation. And I believe that all that went into creating a strong nation, creating a nation that is able to determine where it wants to go and chart its own course, perhaps has been tied into all of us who can proudly say that we are Bahamian. And so when I think of 50 years, I think of tremendous growth. I think of the Bahamas leveraging a lot of opportunities, economic opportunities for the betterment of our country, to attract foreign investment. I think of the Bahamas investing in its people such that we have such a strong cadre of professionals who are able to compete on the world stage. And so as I look down memory lane, both for myself and for my country, I think we've done pretty well. And I think as Bahamians, we tend to be hard, and I'm one. We tend to be very hard on ourselves. We believe that we can do more and we should be more. And yes, we should always strive to always achieve our maximum potential. But I think we have a lot to be proud of as a country. I get to travel the world through work and in other capacities. And I can tell you, the developed countries that we look to, when I meet with professionals in those countries, advisors, individuals, they want to be in the Bahamas. They want to live here. They want to work here. They want to play here. And so we as Bahamians should appreciate what we've come to develop over 50 years. It is the envy of the world in many respects.
Yes, and I think all too often, as you've indicated, we have the word that I'm looking for. I was going to say underestimate, but we have not, I think, put the Bahamas consistently enough in our conversation at the level where it ought to be. And in my view, sometimes the impression of the Bahamas that filters outside the Bahamas is actually created within the Bahamas. And so We have to be mindful that you have an opportunity, because it's an independent country, citizens and residents alike, that it's in your hands to be nurtured. It's in your hands to be protected. And it's in your hands to be spoken about. You would like to hear it be spoken about by others who are not of you or from you. And so, you know, I think as you went down that memory lane, I think there's a cautionary note over as we move into the next 50. Let's be mindful and let's be careful as to how we project our achievement without understating what has been done. So Farida, what would be your take?
So thank you for this opportunity, Hubert. I was born after independence.
Yeah.
And so I see it from a perspective of somebody who was born into a free and independent country. Mm-hmm. And my journey over the last, two decades in financial services, I have seen, like Dr. Tanya shared, a tremendous growth, specifically as we talk about the compliance profession, right? Mm-hmm. Around 2000, this new industry kind of was birthed, even though it was here before that, but this is when it, took some precedence. And I have watched over the last two decades how Bahamians have equipped themselves to be the best compliance professionals, I would dare to say globally, from my travels, from my experience, from my international colleagues, partners, and friends. We are known for our expertise, especially in the region. We are definitely the leaders, and we are the ones that other regional countries look to. And so for me, over the last, not 50 years, but over my lifetime and in my professional experience, I have seen a tremendous growth. I have seen us do things that a small country would not necessarily be expected to do. And we are certainly able to stand on the global stage with all of those countries that we consider to be first world countries. So I am extremely proud of where we have come so far.
You know, Hubert, but as Burrito was talking, you know, very often we hear people say, the Bahamas is not a real place. Trust me, it is a real place. It's a wonderful place where, you know, we're not perfect, okay? Mm-hmm. And all of us want the best, and Bahamians are accustomed to the best. But trust me, the Bahamas is a nation of substance, a nation of people who know what they want, people who have the capacity to achieve what they want. And we have seen this just embodied, I want to say, in financial services. We are resilient people, and we get back up and we continue to do well and we continue to excel. The Bahamas is a real place as we celebrate 50 years of independence.
Yeah, it certainly is a real place. But in the instance where they mentioned that, they're referencing to some things which are just inexplicable. And as a result of that, you know, usually no real place see that type of... But on a serious note, as you mentioned, Farida, persons should remember. And I remember because I had the privilege of standing beside some giants within the industry, Tanya certainly being one of them, where I think the modern compliance profession within the region got its rebirth in the Bahamas without any fear of being challenged on that. I remember in 2000, after the Bahamas was blacklisted, and the work that went in through organizations like BACO and the other compliance professionals, this was effectively exported to the rest of the Caribbean. Talk to us a little bit about that, Tanya, and how the Bahamas continues to impact. And I think this is one of the areas which doesn't get sufficient focus, which we don't talk about too much. How the Bahamas, first, I think it was the connection between the Bahamas and Barbados, and then it went further afield.
I'm a student of history, so I'm going to take us way back just to start.
Okay.
I'm going to take us way back. I'm going to take us back pre-independence. And the fact that in the post-World War era, we saw tremendous focus on tourism. We saw a huge construction boom. It was in those days where large investments and developments took place. We saw Lyford Quay being created in 1955. We saw huge lucrative developments on Paradise Island at the end of the 50s. And around that very same time, as persons considered the Bahamas for tourism, it was in 1960 that the House of Assembly passed a resolution. And we could talk about the relevance of that in a historical context, but the resolution passed, resolved that it was not in the best interest of the colony at that time to impose tax on income or capital gains of any person, company, or corporation in the Bahamas. That was followed by the Central Bank Act of 1965. And this legislation regulated to follow. And it is against that backdrop that we saw the financial services foundation being laid. And obviously, you mentioned some of the things that we have experienced since the laying of that foundation in 1965, when it came to a head in the late 1990s. and the Bahamas found itself blacklisted by the FATF and others. And we had to respond with a compendium of legislation. But between 1965 and the late 1990s, we saw the growth and development of financial services. We saw hundreds of international banks take up residence here in the Bahamas, where we were able to develop as an international financial center. And over the years, we've developed this regulatory system. And as global regulation expanded, we found that we had to respond. And so you mentioned 1999, 2000. At that point in time, I had just entered the financial services industry. I had previously served in the office of the Attorney General, and we found ourselves having to respond to international pressures. And we found that this cadre of professionals, compliance officers, to the extent that the law required financial institutions to have in place compliance professionals. During so that period from 1999, we saw a number of things take place. We saw us strengthening our regulatory framework. We saw the Bahamas in 2000 becoming a member of the Caribbean Financial Action Task Force. And since then, we have seen the evolution of our regulatory framework to expand to include tax cooperation and transparency. But in this, what we have seen is, as Farida pointed out, the development of a class of professionals who can compete and whose expertise are sought after throughout the region. So the Bahamas joined the CFATF. We have close relations with our Caribbean brothers and sisters as together we seek to withstand the pressures of global regulation while implementing it in such a way that it doesn't decimate our industry. But what we've done is we've been able to form a Bahamas Association of Compliance Officers. That's where we started. I was a founding member of the association. That was in 2000. Out the region, resulting in the Caribbean Regional Compliance Association, of which Farida sits on their board, and we were able to host their regional conference here in the Bahamas last year. She can speak to that. But certainly, we set a standard. Our Attorney General is the immediate past chair of the Caribbean Financial Action Task Force. So when it comes to setting the standard for global, for adherence to global regulation in the region, certainly the Bahamas is at the forefront. We can say that we are one of a handful of countries that you can count on one hand who is compliant with all 40 of the FATF's 40 recommendations, which is a testament to our investment in the industry, our seriousness about compliance, and we were able to achieve that on the eve of our 50th anniversary of independence. I'll be quiet so Farida can get a word in edgewise.
You know, certainly when I have you on the radio, I just don't have to say anything. I just need to sit back and listen. But as you listen to that historical treatise, Farida, I'm sure there are instances and there are things which are popping up in your mind in between those dates. You know, you being part and parcel of the leadership or the governance machinery within the compliance profession in that era, and not only working within the confines of the Bahamas, but having a regional and global reach. Talk to us about that, and talk to us about how the Bahamas as an environment has fostered and prepared you to take on those roles.
Hubert, like you, when I'm in the room with Dr. T, I do the same thing. I'm happy to just listen. But thank you so much, Hubert and Dr. T. Hubert, for me, I think coming up in an era with people like Dr. T, who I consider to be a role model and a mentor, and others in the industry as well, Cherise Cox-Nottage and a few other ladies, I was mentored by these ladies. These ladies poured themselves into me. They did not hide information or keep information. And I recognized that they were not only about building themselves, but they were about building persons to come behind them. They, when I say they, I mean Baco. When Baco initial leaders came together, they had a vision to ensure that the Bahamas would be the best, right? We would be the best in the field. And persons like Dr. Tanya and others, they have shown us by example what it is to excel, what it is to do things at an excellent level, not just because we're a small country and, you know, we say in our colloquialism, whatever buck up goes. No, there was an expectation from the senior persons in Baco that the persons that they train, the persons that they bring up, the persons that they come, you know, pour into would lead with excellence. And so for me, I've had that training, I've had that mentorship, and I believe that that type of mentorship is crucial for this industry to continue. And so, Hubert, I do the same thing. I am now at a place where I am mentoring people in the industry. Because of my leadership in Baco, I am able to meet a network and help others to grow like I have been helped. Like you said, Hubert, it's just not in the Bahamas at this point. I'm a sought-after speaker in the region and globally, and it's because I was handed a baton by persons, especially females, I'm going to say, who were willing and able to see us grow as a country and be proud of us. There was no competition when it relates to CRCA. That baton was passed to me. I sit on that committee representing the Bahamas, and I can tell you any type of expertise, I can call on Dr. T. I can even call on you, as you know. There are persons that I can call on to say, hey, this is me representing us, a country. We have to do this as best as we can. Like Dr. T alluded to, we had a conference here last year, and by all means, if you are a LinkedIn follower, you can go check it out. We had a blast. Compliance at its best. That conference is held annually in a country in the Caribbean. And for us, I hosted in 2015, and I was again the host in 2022, which speaks volumes, Hubert, because that is not something that, you know, just fell into my lap. Mm-hmm. The Bahamas was able to host 2 years within a few years of each other because we were known as a place of excellent service, excellent networking, and we have a cadre of compliance professionals that is second to none in the region. So, Hubert, I am so happy that I have been able to not only partner, but to sit at the feet of some excellent ladies who were able to show me how this is supposed to be done and to represent our country on a national stage and to do it with excellence.
And that is important. I think, you know, the profession, especially in the early part, was certainly dominated by females. And out of that came individuals like Tanya, Cheryl Bazard, Cherise Cox. I'm missing some names as soon as I start getting in trouble.
Natasha Roll Bastian. Was there Cheryl Cartwright?
Yes.
As well. Lots of females, a few males. Andra Delavaux, who is now the president of Baco, mm-hmm. was certainly there in the early days with us. But yes.
Yes. And I remember a guy named Hubert Edwards. I think he was there too.
Of course.
But it was a wonderful time. And persons listening may ask, you know, so what's the relevance? I want to turn to 2000 or 1999, 2000. In real terms, at least as we saw it then, we saw a Bahamas which was highly dependent on tourism and then also dependent on financial service, which had a real risk of financial service being decimated. Yes, we did lose some. We have lost some over the years. But at that point in time, we saw a very real danger of the Bahamas being in significant trouble. And when that cadre of, as if war was declared and the Bahamas called out its army, and in many ways, Bako and that grouping caused or contributed to the overall effort to create a change in the minds of external parties as they look at the Bahamas over the next 2 to 3 years, from 2000 to 2002, 2003. And great progress was made simply because persons, ordinary people, persons who were working in a professional capacity, decided to buckle down and do what was necessary to save the country. Tanya?
You know, Hubert, you touch on this. And I remember vividly 1999 into 2000. I remember at that time, Hubert Ingram was prime minister. Mm-hmm. We were on all of these lists. Industry would be called into various meetings to talk about the pressures that we were facing, the implications for correspondent banking, what blacklisting meant, how we ought to respond, and the response would be on the jurisdiction. And as with change, change brings some level of trepidation. And you're right, people were concerned about the viability and the sustainability of the industry. But what we found, just as you said, is that when you're building a nation, you're gonna encounter some challenges. And so we encountered those challenges. But if you're building a nation and your focus is on people and about building people, then you equip your people to be able to respond when times get tough.
That's it.
And so I think we're talking about independence. I think over the past 50 years, the emphasis on education as a means for empowerment is something that has positioned the Bahamas very well. When BACO was formed, a bit about the history, when we were formed, in some quarters, persons were concerned about why there needed to be another association relative to financial services. There were already other associations comprised perhaps of senior executives. We need another body being created. And at the time, we thought it was important for professionals who were new to this space to have a forum where they could network, where they could exchange ideas if they had challenges around interpretation or implementation of the legislation, they would be able to discuss it. And we met with the then governor of the central bank, who was Mr. Julian Francis, and he said to us, look, there doesn't have to be a clash between a number of associations. What your focus is, if you want to be successful, it should be on education and training. And we made that one of the key elements of our mission in the creation of the Bahamas Association of Compliance Officers, mm-hmm. education and training. And I believe as a country, we have been able to achieve what we have over the years, because somehow it's always been instilled in us that education is power. And when I sell the Bahamas as an international financial services, a key element of our value proposition is expertise. The fact that the Bahamas has the expertise to meet your needs, to provide the financial solutions that you require. And so I think is in our people. The resilience of our industry has certainly been as a result of the work of educated professionals and Bahamians, complemented by international counterparts and expatriates as well, who have added value to this industry. The creation of BACO showed that we were competent. It showed that we were committed to being compliant and meeting international regulatory standards.
It certainly did. And, you know, a lot of blood, sweat and tears went into those early days. As you said, the focus was mm-hmm. on training and development. Many, many hours mm-hmm. spent delivering and training and discussing and providing support in different quarters. And so at the end of the day, when it emerged that the Bahamas was making some progress, I remember conversations with the, by that time, the AG was Honorable Melanie, no, Miss Gibson.
Allison
Gibson, yeah. By that time, she was the AG. And at another time, I think we encountered Alfred Sears. And so interaction and a recognition of the value that compliance brought to the whole process. But I just want to go to you before I get into a break. I want to come back to you, Farida. Tanya touched on, I think, a very, very important and fundamental issue. When... And this is my styling. I'm a little bit dramatic today. When the war was declared, when Mr. Ingram, Honorable Hubert Ingram, traveled to Washington and came back with those 8 pieces of legislation, again, I'm being a little bit dramatic, but it kind of felt like that because there was a whole slew that came out after those discussions. But when he came back and the war was declared, there was no questions that soldiers were ready and available, not needing training, just needed to be sensitized. Your experience, Farida, over the years has been that there is always this funnel of new individuals coming into the profession, always new persons who are properly and effectively already seasoned just to now become effective expert from a compliance perspective. Talk to us about that and how important it is given the level of education and exposure that Bahamians have in that regard.
Okay, Hubert. So what Dr. Tanya didn't say was when BACO was formed, the International Compliance Association out of the UK, along with Manchester, was invited to write a certification for BACO to be able to get us to a standard. That diploma in AML and now governance, risk, and compliance is the gold standard globally, the ICA diplomas. And that diploma has been taught in conjunction with ICA, the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services, and BACO over the years from 2000. And so in the Bahamas, we're not sending off Bahamians to study compliance, Hubert. We are training our armies right here. I am a teacher teaching that course. Dr. T also teaches compliance. So like you said, we have a constant flow of new entrants into the field. We are constantly engaging new persons. We have persons changing careers, Hubert, to come into the field because compliance is such a dynamic field to be in. We are not short of compliance professionals in this country. And we as teachers, we teach with not only passion, Hubert, but we teach our students to be ready. Like you said, like all soldiers march forward, we already had persons in place. And it is the same today. When we needed to be brought up to speed with the with the FATF 40 recommendations, we all put our shoulders to the wheel. And like it was mentioned earlier, we are one of a few countries globally that can say that we are compliant with the 40 FATF recommendations. And that is because we have a depth of knowledge, a depth of compliance professionals in this country. And that is something that we continue to build on. That is something, as a matter of fact, Hubert, we're actually exporting some of our talents because some of us actually assist other regional counterparts with training and with bringing them up to speed. They look to the Bahamas as the go-to nation for expertise in this specific area. And Dr. T can attest to that.
Yeah, I want to add too that over the years, and so Farida's right, when we formed the association in late 99, early 2000, and we started to meet informally in 99 and then into 2000 when we created the association, we reached out to the ICA. to develop a course. But over the years, we have expanded the course offerings for Bahamians. And I say that we are one of the few countries in the region to have a chapter of the association of the Anti-Money Laundering and Compliance Association of ACAMS. Mm-hmm. And Bahamians are certified as anti-money laundering specialists. And so we have a Bahamas chapter here. So we've been able to evolve. We've been able to expand the offerings for certifications and specializations for Bahamians. And education has truly positioned us such that we serve as a resource for our regional counterparts. Underpinning a lot of this too, because I'm tying this into independence, Hubert. That's what we're here, you know, we're putting it in that context. I believe that the changes that we have been able to see, the growth that we have been able to experience as a nation, is a result of a commitment to public-private sector partnership. The association could not have been effective. It couldn't be an effective agent of change without being able to partner with policymakers, and policymakers respect us, our views and our opinions and what we had to offer. Similarly, the creation of which I'm a part of, we are 25 years old this year, is a testament to the importance of public-private sector partnership in nation building. It can't just be the government. It can't just be the business sector on their own doing their own thing. It has to be collaborative if we are to move the country forward. And I believe that is what has helped us to develop over the years.
And definitely that is a case, you know, it's a point that I was going to raise, but since you raised it, I think compliance, the emergence of compliance has facilitated a coming together in a more significant way of policymakers, regulators, professionals, and owners. When the issues are on the table, which puts livelihood at risk, which put business at risk, which puts the country's reputation at risk, we have seen, or at least this has been my experience, I have seen a coming together of all different aspects of the country, from the governmental level straight down to the individual who works as a compliance officer. And the minds have all come together in such a way that we would have created an infrastructure, responded to a number of obstacles, a number of blacklisting or gray listing or blue listing, whatsoever they call it, and to have emerged in, I think it was recently, as one of the few countries in the world where 40 out of 40 recommendations is fully compliant with. It's no small feat. And I think that is something which should be celebrated. Also, from my vantage point and what I want to say about that, it's an example of how other areas of the country can be further developed. How we can all work together collaboratively. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to take some hits. You're going to take some bruises. But if there is the commitment, if there is the working together, if there is the coming together of all facets of society, eventually, wonderful, wonderful things will happen. And so we're going to leave it there, and we come back on the other side. We're going to have some other conversation. We're going to continue to talking about, you know, what were some of the low points from the blacklisting in 2000? What are some of the issues which we are seeing coming out of the rising of the digital economy? We know we had the fallout of FTX, but what about this whole rise up of digital assets? How is the profession responding to that? And we also want to look broader, since we have Tanya here, at the financial service compliance, but broader at financial service, and want to, you know, get a feel as to its health and where we are going into the future. So you're listening to The Essentials. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. Having a conversation with Tanya McCartney, Dr. Tanya McCartney, and Farida Smith. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to continue. We want to hear from you. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and our text line 422-4796. Don't move. Come right back.
girl. You see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Lord, where you think this man is, man? All day I've been home with his little baby kids. And he reached for me. Huh? Well, anyway, I gonna fall down the road to see if he down. I just place down the road. And if he down there, there's gonna be some problems. Cause guess what? I got a headache and I'm every other night. Andrew would call.
Tell him don't let I come down to that bar. Because when the issues are on the line, when those who have committed themselves, not just professionally, but as citizens and residents of the country, because oftentimes we see persons, they say, you know, they're just working. That's a compliance of a CEO. But the truth is, in the vein of discussing a journey of independence over the last 50 years, persons have, through their profession, contributed to country. Persons have worked hard, tirelessly. There are many, many unsung heroes in financial services. Many individuals who have given up their time, their treasures, to ensure that, in the first instance, sometime the organization that they're with is okay, but also contributed to the wider development through mentoring, through aiding, to providing educational support. And oftentimes, these persons go unrecognized, as is the way things are. You will find a couple of persons who will rise to the top, and that's just how life is. But us here on The Essentials, in this moment as we celebrate the road to 50 and beyond, We want to just say in a very blanket way for all of you out there who you're working very hard, you're doing what you're doing, you're going over and beyond the call of duty to make sure that your organization is okay, to make sure that if something goes wrong somewhere, we are only as strong as our weakest link. And you are doing and playing your part in helping and aiding and supporting and sustaining the reputation of the Bahamas. We want to say thank you for doing that. And we also want to thank you in advance for the additional work you're going to do as we move beyond 50. And so Tanya and Farida, without getting ourselves into too much trouble, you know, there are some champions out there, and, you know, as when we had experienced some of the low points and even we experienced some high points too, what are some of the things which would jump to your mind if I ask you maybe to cast your mind back to 2000 up to today? And who are some of the persons who would kind of jump to the forefront of your mind as being individuals worthy of mention in this whole process?
You want to get us in trouble?
Yes, I know I'll get you in trouble, but we'll try. We'll help each other to fill in the gaps.
You know, well, I'll begin by, I talked about public-private sector partnership. I think successive attorneys general mm-hmm. have been critical to the advancement of the industry and our response. What we find is that regardless of which party is in power, there is a commitment to the financial services sector. Financial services is not political. As to the importance of this sector to our economy, and as such, all of our attorneys general post-independence, I think they deserve to be commended for not politicizing the industry and for providing the support and leadership that has been needed for its sustained growth and development.
Definitely.
There are a lot to call. You mentioned the Honorable Allison Maynard Gibson, now Justice Hope Strawn. We had Minister Ellsworth Johnson. We had Attorney General Carl Bethel, current Attorney General. You mentioned Attorney General Alfred Sayers. There's been an Attorney General, current Attorney General, and a former Minister of Financial Services, the Honorable Ryan Pinder. So I want to thank those persons, because regardless of where we stand politically, there is an acceptance that the importance of the sector warrants that it not be politicized. And I want to thank all of them for their leadership. In addition, and I've missed some, but it's all of them post-independence. On the private sector side, I think our governors of the central bank, I mentioned Julian Francis. I think The T. Basil Donaldson, who is no longer the current governor of the central bank, we have to acknowledge. So all of the heads of our various regulatory bodies mm-hmm. have supported the growth and development of this industry. All of them, even though I do not mention their names. Obviously, my predecessors, Ms. Wendy Warren, Ms. Aaliyah Allen, Barry Malcolm, all of them. The persons with the Association of International Banks and Trust Companies, Antoinette Russell, Bruno Roberts, Yvonne Hooper. It's just meant so many Bahamians who have held leadership and non-Bahamians as well, who have contributed to the growth of our sector. And I've mentioned some of the names from the Compliance Association, but I think everybody that has put their hand to the wheel, who have led an organization through the turbulence that we have experienced, they are acknowledged, even though I do not mention their names, because it has taken tremendous leadership to develop the resilience that we have experienced. So the heads of the various banks, trust companies, other type financial institutions, the accountants, everybody, I think. I've called some names, but I believe everybody who has worked in this sector has weathered the storm. We've all had the palpitations together when we've been blacklisted and experienced the impact of that. And we've all rolled up our sleeves to respond to that. I have to mention, but all of us who have worked in this industry.
Definitely.
Hubert, let me help Dr. T out a bit. Also, our current Minister of Economic Affairs, he's a great supporter of tobacco specifically.
Yes,
Minister, Alkidas.
He's a friend.
Exactly. Also, our former Deputy Prime Minister, Peter Turnquist, like she said, it's apolitical. There is no politics when it comes to rolling up our sleeves and ensuring that the financial services sector is well taken care of. So we have tremendous support from all spheres of government, all spheres of regulatory agencies. It is definitely everybody on board, Hubert. Everybody.
Yeah. All hands on deck.
And it's important, you know, I have seen some of this up close. I've been privileged enough to been given the opportunity to hang around the peripheries of some of this development. Now, one person that we will not forget, or one institution that we will not forget in this process, is BIFS. And
BIFS.
I need to mention specifically Miss Bodie.
Kim Bodie. Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
BIFS has been a nucleus, if you will, to the development, provided secretariat services and then provide facilitation for the various courses and the development over the years, and has been such an important part in the educational process of financial services industry. You know, I think, you know, she should be on the award
for
something.
We line up with our independence.
Yes.
We have to mention Kim.
Yes,
we have
definitely.
To mention Kim and the team. And I mentioned T. Boswell Donaldson, but he was instrumental in the creation of BIFS, and Kim has worked with BIFS from inception to date.
Yeah.
And so she's seen the growth of it. And the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services is a testament of the commitment of the various financial institutions to the development of Bahamian talent, because it is formed, its members are the various financial institutions who serve as a feeder by providing and underwriting the cost in some cases for their staff to obtain the various certifications that the Bahamas Institute of Financial Services offers. So people like Hugh Sands and T. Boswell Donaldson, who are no longer with us, those pioneers were there in the creation of the Institute. And it has truly grown and developed as our nation has, and contributed to the talent that we have in this country.
You know,
and we've also, sorry here, but we've also seen the growth where now they're partnering with universities like Baden Banker MBA. They're partnering with lots of other international organizations to bring that level of learning and education and development right here to the Bahamas. So kudos to them. We appreciate everything that they have done. Kim Bodie and her staff, they are tremendous persons, and they're definitely people that we should be honoring and you know, making sure that they are heralded during this 50th anniversary
yes,
of our country.
I absolutely endorse that. I think, you know, we do our part in always reminding Ms. Bodie that she is important and done a significant job in helping to chart the educational process of not just financial services, because persons of all walks of life would have used the services of the Institute, but certainly, in terms of longevity, in terms of commitment, in terms of innovativeness, in terms of setting a standard such that BIFS has become, in many ways, the gold standard for financial institutes within the Caribbean and even globally, where they are sought out by leading international institutions who don't come to find out if it is okay to partner. We want to partner with you because we have seen what you're doing as far away as the Africa. African contingents to various conferences have indicated and expressed the fact that they are influenced and motivated by the work of the Bahamas Institute of Financial Service. And so we just want to give kudos where kudos is due. And this is what the series is about. Yes, we are going to talk about some personal experience, but we also want to reach out and say to individuals, there are exciting things happening or have happened in the Bahamas. They are individuals who are committed to the growth and the development, but they're not out on a rooftop making any noise. But that doesn't mean that we should ignore them. That doesn't mean that we should always look to the popular grouping for recognition. we have to look far and wide, and we have to recognize and understand that in this process, every single individual is important. Yeah. And
yep,
while
you mentioned Kim, if you're mentioning BIFS, the Institute, you got to mention Eve Poitier, who helped to develop so many students at what was then the College of the Bahamas, then the university. And she has invested a tremendous amount of time as well in developing programs for the Institute. But when she's the first female CFA in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And so the Bahamas history and people like Farida and I stand on the shoulders of these leaders who helped to develop the industry.
And you know, our effort here this evening is really to put a light on that and to say to whosoever is listening, policymakers included, that hey, we have a great legacy, we have a great foundation. And so in the areas where we are lacking, in the areas where there are opportunities for improvement, let's look back over the last 50, let's look at the things that we have done, let's look at the opportunities we have missed, and let's use that to leverage, plan, and grow a brighter next 50. So as we look towards the next 50, Tania and Farida, give me a 50-year vision. I'm going to go as far as that. What are some of the things, based on your experience, that we now need to cast our mind of? And maybe we can use this whole shift which is taking place in terms of the digital economy, digital assets, and so on. We can start there as a foundation as we look into the future.
For me, Hubert, I would say in the next 50 years, looking forward to a cashless society. I know it sounds, you know, very strange for some persons, but when you travel around the world, it's very rare that I need cash when I go to Europe and beyond, right? And so for the Bahamas, we are still very much cash-centric. And so for me in financial services, I'm very much looking to becoming a cashless society. I'm very much looking forward to artificial intelligence and how that is going to shape our economy and shape our country. And I'm also looking forward over the next 50 years to see how persons in the industry will have to pivot to still be able to be relevant. So those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to in the next 50, Hubert.
Okay.
Well, you know, aligned with that, I think digitalization, I would like to see the public sector fully digitalized. You know, we survey our members from time to time, and we conducted a survey at the end of last year to help to create a policy framework for what we do at BFSB. And, you know, ease of doing business. Hopefully we will have a more business-friendly environment where we are able to access our services more efficiently. So certainly that will be important for industry. So the digitalization of the public sector, I want to see that because it greatly impacts us. I would like to see dedicated resources to coordinate with international bodies so that we can be more proactive in the face of the inevitable global regulatory shifts. I believe that, you know, we are really talented people. Bahamians are very talented, and there are tremendous opportunities for growth despite the pressures. But we have to make it easy for people to do business. We have to manage our brand and the reputation of the jurisdiction. And so over the next 50 years, I hope that we'll be able to achieve success or greater success in those areas.
Yeah, as you talk about brand management, and earlier you talk about the value that the educational standard of Bahamians bring to the value proposition. In recent times, we've been hearing the discussion around taxation, corporate tax, respond to the Pillar 2 from the OECD. How do you see this shifting and affecting our As you know, in the past, there was, no tax and then low tax. And now we are a highly regulated and compliant jurisdiction. How does this shift take us into the future? What are some of the things that we ought to be thinking about or be concerned about going forward with this movement?
Okay, so you're touching on tax reform. We see the international community pushing for a global minimum corporate tax with respect to multinational entities who earn 750 million euro or more. And the timeline for implementation of that is 2024. We've committed to that. We feel on the domestic space, it will have minimal impact, but it has forced us to look at our own tax system, because while in 1960, we passed a resolution in the House of Assembly saying that we wouldn't tax income, personal or corporate or otherwise. The world today has moved away from that, and jurisdictions that are no tax or low tax wear a black eye. We're seen as harmful tax. So to remain competitive, to reduce our risk profile, those of us who work in the industry have been saying that we need to conduct a tax study. We need to see what the options are for us to ensure that we are not adversely impacted by this label of no tax, low tax. And what we have seen recently is the publication of a green paper. Mm-hmm. Which is for discussion purposes. Obviously, it's not a policy position. It outlines some options that are open to the country for consideration, because when we talk about corporate tax, we have to consider that it has implications not only for financial services, but for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so this is a national dialogue that has to take place. And so I was pleased to see where I think it was the Attorney General who said that there will be dialogue and consultation over the summer on the green paper, which I said is just some options, which would then inform any policy position that the government might take. And that will then go into a white paper. A similar journey was taken when we introduced value. And so it's not right. I believe if we lose the label of being no tax or zero tax jurisdiction, it will improve our profile as an international financial center. But certainly our economy is much bigger than financial services, and therefore we need to hear from everybody as to what they see the impact being and what would be the best route to take.
It's interesting that you say that, Tanya, before we get back to Ms. Sands. It's interesting that you say that, because the average individual makes the argument that the Bahamas' financial services value proposition is tied to no tax. Extremely low tax.
Not today. No, and when you look at other international competitive IFCs, apart from perhaps the dependent territories, most of them are what you call mid-shore jurisdictions, where they have some sort of territorial tax regime. And so when you look at competitive international financial centers, these are not zero tax or low tax jurisdictions per se. Mm-hmm. I talk to a range of people, and some people to be in a jurisdiction that's seen as, and we are transparent and we are cooperative, but they would not want to be on a jurisdiction that's subject to scrutiny. Mm-hmm. Because of its tax system.
Right.
And even on the domestic tax level, we've heard our own business people talk about how business license tax is based on gross turnover, and we ought to look at it. So both on the international side, I believe that there is some opportunity for us to improve our positioning, and on the domestic side to have a more efficient tax system that positions us well, both internationally and domestically.
And I think that is important because certainly that's the direction the world has already gone.
Yes.
I was about to say heading, but has already gone. And
yeah.
The extent to which we are deemed to be just one of the players, in that we are not an outlier because we have a tax system which is not considered to be compliance, or as the term is used today, that we are not we are anti-competitive. In some ways, it means that the Bahamas can continue to market itself as a viable services center, and therefore seek to grow possibly in other areas which hitherto now may have not been attracted to the Bahamas, but because of the change on the global scene, then some things which may not have been achievable because there was a differentiation in tax treatment, now with a level playing field, the Bahamas is able to, I think, reassess itself and possibly grow its financial services at in a greater way.
We've talked about the Bahamas being an international business center.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about trying to attract multinationals to headquarter in the jurisdiction as a means of growing our economy as we move forward. If we are to do that, certainly I think it would be imperative that we look at our current tax structure if we really want to be an international business center.
And that is important. So let me go back to you now, Ms. Sands, and I hope I'm forgiven by saying so many Sands. now, back to you, Ms. Sands. The emergence of the digital assets, FTX was here. We know we had that whole debacle. They have now gone away. But the whole issues around cryptocurrency, the digital asset, the DEAR Act, and so on and so forth. And now we have this of corporate income tax, which is coming down the line. How prepared are individuals within the compliance profession to deal with these issues? And do you see opportunities where the profession will again start to morph to create new opportunities for maybe a different type of a compliance professional?
Definitely, Hubert, definitely. Over the last 2 years, I have known lots of compliance professionals in the Bahamas who have taken it upon themselves, even though big companies like FTX is here and OKX is still here and other companies are coming to the jurisdiction. We have been arming ourselves with certifications just to ensure that when these companies arrive in the Bahamas, they have a cadre of professionals to choose from, not necessarily from an experiential perspective, but from at least a knowledge-based perspective. So like for myself, as an example, I'm a certified cryptocurrency investigator, right? We have lots of them in the Bahamas at this point. I'm also at this point arming myself with a degree in financial crime compliance in digital societies. So yes, I know for a fact that we are in seeing a morphing to what we're calling cryptocurrency compliance professionals, AML professionals. So it's not just AML professionals generally. We're now seeing sanction-specific compliance professionals. We're seeing cryptocurrency and digital assets specific compliance professionals, and we are seeing a breakout of just a general AML compliance profession. So
absolutely,
yes, we are definitely equipping ourselves with the knowledge, and we are hoping that when the companies come here, they don't necessarily have to bring in all of their expatriate staff. They can bring some in to teach us and give us the experience, but we will still be here with the knowledge, armed already with the knowledge, just willing to have an opportunity to put into practice what we have learned.
Hubert, you hit on it. I think broader regulatory compliance expertise is something that is in great demand in the Bahamas. You know, people call me sometimes and they're like, do you know of any resource who specializes in economic substance reporting? Because there are so many different reporting requirements. You have economic substance reporting, you have the beneficial owner system. So people are looking for specialists in all aspects of regulatory compliance because they need to be the competent authority and with our various regulators.
Yes. Next time they ask you, tell them, just hold on a second. I soon come.
Edward.
I soon come. We have a texter. Yeah. We have a texter here which says, good evening, sir. Greatest accomplishments that the Bahamas achieved over the past 50 years has been under the leadership of Sir Lyndon Oscar Pinland. Sadly, every time one government comes in, they shut down on the previous government. They shut down what the previous government has commenced. What I would love to see is more development in the Family Island, more specifically the island on the eastern Bahamas. Certainly agree with you in terms of what you would want to see. And interestingly, the area that we are discussing this evening has seemed to escape, Tanya, that type of a styling. There seemed to be, you know, seamless transition as it relates to financial service. It does not suffer from these things of government shutting down something because administration has changed.
I think the twin pillars of the economy, tourism and financial services, have been sort of protected from. In our industry, we really don't politicize financial services. Successive governments have supported the industry. They've provided support in the promotion, financial support for the promotion of the Bahamas as an international financial center. So, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And so, you know, I want to say it again. I think financial services, all aspects of financial services, including the supporting arms, which includes compliance professionals and risk management professionals, provide a very clear example of how we can work together cohesively, disparate pieces, but all working together, including the educational harm that come from areas like Bahamas Financial Services, Institute of Financial Services, and all the other entities out there that's providing educational support. How we can work together as a country to make things work for the future. How we can make a decision on what is important and divorce it from the vagaries of interference. Mm-hmm. How we can make a decision that a thing is important for our future and protect it from some of the things which would cause additional obstacles and setback. And as we look forward, what to understand for the Bahamas right now is that the economy needs to grow. And if the economy is going to grow, then we have to look for other places other than financial services and tourism. Therefore, what we need to start doing is label all of the other areas as important and treat them likewise. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Having a wonderful conversation with Ms. Sands and Dr. Tanya McCartney. And so when we come back, we're going to put a wrap on this. We're just going to get their views, you know, what they would like to see. Let them express themselves. Talk maybe a little bit about themselves. You know, certainly for me, when the next 50 come, I don't think I will be around. But certainly I have a view of what I would love to see the Bahamas do over the next 50 years. You listen to The Essentials. Don't move. Come right back.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where to with a local representative. Visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You know I'm illegal when I come to you. You gave me food, clothes, and protection too. You said the world about a thing, then show your loyalty, it's the comfort that we'll bring. When I look around, I got tables and backboard working on my visa street. Boss lady tells me, send for family, she can clean the house and iron the clothes for me. Comfort and you all, it's a comfort that you bring. This matter is serious. Comfort and fuel, we must regulate this thing. Comfort and fuel.
As we get to the end of this conversation, wonderful conversation with Ms. Sands and Dr. Tanya McCartney, we're having a conversation around financial services broadly, but we kind of zero in on compliance and we zoom back out. And we're talking about what happened over the last 50 years and what we're looking forward to. And we also sought to unearth some of the happenings to give an exposition to the deep quality. As Tanya said, the Bahamas has a deep bench, certainly in financial services. But I don't think it's limited to financial services. We're just using that this evening because that's where the spotlight is. I believe that the Bahamas as a country has such a opportunity for significant. In many instances, we ourselves, and by we I mean those who lead and those who have the ability to change the country, I think has underestimated its potential. And more importantly, I've underestimated the fact that when leadership is brought to bear, there is an army of behemoths and an army of other individuals available and willing who will march towards whatsoever task it is which is necessary for the growth and the development of this country. All it requires is serious, determined, consistent leadership. Because we have seen over and repeatedly when the Bahamas' back is against the wall, when the Bahamas' back is against the wall, the best of it rises immediately to the forefront. And you know that the outcome is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
What we are calling for is let's not wait until our back is against the wall and oftentimes there is only one option available. Let's start doing the hard work when there are multiple options and the potential is greater. Courage. Courage we need for going forward to move into the next 50. I have this little key to great achievements. The race is not for the scared, but he who will look the challenges and the fears dead in the eyes, be afraid, but continue, knowing that failure is only fatal when one decides not to move forward. Otherwise, it's simply a temporary state filled with opportunities for learning. And I can tell you, Tanya can tell you, Ms. Sands can tell you, Farida can tell you, that over the period of the last 20 years or so, all of the obstacles and challenges which have been presented to financial services have simply emerged as great opportunities for learning and expansion. And so as we bring this show to an end, Dr. Tania Farida, what would you say to those who are listening, policymakers, everybody involved? What would you say is the path we need to take, the things we need to do, the things we need to look at to ensure that the next 50 is going to be extremely vibrant and set ourselves up for the following 50?
So I'm going to start here so Dr. T can have the last say. For me, I would say one thing, Hubert. I think there is strength in unity. I think as a divide, look forward to a bright future in the next 50. So just how we have been saying over the course of this program that financial services is one of those areas, pillars of the economy where we see a united front by everyone. I think that has served the country greatly, and it will continue to serve us not only in financial services, but in every sphere, every single solitary sphere of the economy of the country, everything. If we all get together as Bahamians, as residents, as expatriates living here with one unified mind, one unified goal, which is to make the Bahamas better tomorrow than it is today, I think we will be on the right track.
And I'm going to build on that, Farida, because as you spoke, it reminded me of our motto, forward, upward, onward, together. And I would only add that if we are to move forward, upward, onward, together, in a unified manner, we should hearken back to those traditional values upon which it was built. And when I think of what some of those traditional values are, three words come to mind. The first one is hard work. Bahamians over the years have had to work extremely hard. We know what it is to put in the sweat to get things done. And we have to commit to doing the work. We have to commit to avoiding the shortcuts. So my first takeaway is, let us rededicate ourselves to hard work. The second word is knowledge. With knowledge, you have power. You know, I come from very humble beginnings. My grandmother was a stay-at-home mother. She was a housewife. My grandfather, he was a prison officer and then a truant officer from Eleuthera, from Topham Bay, Eleuthera. Poor people. They had 10 children, made sure that those 10 children had the opportunity to get an education. And so knowledge. And you don't have to go to university. You don't have to necessarily get a degree. You may be good with your hands. But we need Bahamians who are going to work hard and who are going to hone their skills, their gifts, talents, and abilities. So hard work, knowledge, and lastly, integrity. Integrity. I think if we are to move our country forward, we need to commit to being honest. We need to give a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, because I believe that integrity and of the financial services sector is something that has allowed us to remain resilient. So to move this country forward, upward, onward together, let us all commit to hard work, to honing our skills, to gaining knowledge, and to living lives and having professions based on integrity.
And I think that is so powerful, as you remind us, forward, upward, onward. Forward,
together.
Upward, onward.
Together.
Forward, upward, onward.
Together.
It's the absolutely most important
together.
Word in the motto. Together.
Mm-hmm. Together. Yes.
And the
unity.
And the extent we operate otherwise than together, we are limiting the potential of where we can go, of where we decide to go. I just want to read this to you very quickly. Do it early, do it smart, do it with urgency. But if you were delayed, do it smart, do it with greater urgency. Whatever you do, ensure that you do it. Your purpose will expose you to significant challenges, but these risks are way more insignificant to the mental suffering you will have endured when you fail to pursue that which you were created for. All of us, every single one of us, are created for great things. This country is created for great things. And so we must come together, upward, forward, upward, onward, together to make sure that the Bahamas over the next 50 years is at its greatest. Simply, simply, simply that. Nothing else more to say. We always end our show by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. You have been listening to The Essentials, our guests, Dr. Tanya McCartney and Ms. Farida Sands. All that is left to say now is, walk good, one love, good night, and Ubuntu.
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 Only love can save this world.